Hello, 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 and welcome everyone. This is Becca, also known as DJ Sky, and this is another great episode of the Rewind Podcast where we talk about different older shows that I love and discussing them. Anywhere from Leave It to Beaver, Different Strokes, Dennis the Menace, Petticoat Junction, Andy Griffith Show, Head of the Class, Green Acres, Hogan's Heroes, Adam 12, Emergency, Punky Brewster, My Favorite Martian, Donna Reed Show, and much, much more. You're listening to the Rewind Podcast with Becca. What is this man doing here?
I'm just here to help you with a podcast.
You're darn right you are. Everyone, say hello to my brother, Sam.
Hello.
He is going to be joining us today as we talk about our TV show today. Our TV show for today is Hogan's Heroes.
Woohoo!
This is a show that my brother very much enjoys, and he's very much a war buff, especially when it comes to like World War II. So this is right up his alley. Let's begin. So Hogan's Heroes aired from 1965 to 1971. And normally I go through just like the main characters, but there's a lot of main characters on here.
Like 10 of them.
Yeah, there's like 10 major characters. There's obviously Colonel Hogan, because it's named Hogan's Heroes. Colonel Klink, Sergeant Schultz, Carter. How do you pronounce that one? I don't know how to pronounce that one.
Kinhole, maybe?
Kinhole, yeah. Think. Then you have LeBeau, Newkirk. You have General Bull Carter and Major Hochstetter. And then this one, he doesn't pop up super frequently. He's only in like 8 episodes.
The man we all despise.
Colonel Crittenden.
Always messes things up.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and jump into that. Why we don't like Colonel Crittenden. No, we should probably go into what the show is about.
Yeah, and then we can get into annoying old Crittenden.
So Sam, would you like to give a brief summary about what Hogan's Heroes is?
Sure. So basically it is set in the time frame of World War II. And at the beginning, this is not pertinent to the storyline, but at the beginning, it's before the D-Day Normandy invasion. It's really cool to just watch and line it up with history and what's going on in the camp. But that's just a little side note.
Like I said, he's our war history buff.
Yeah, but it's basically these pilots that have been shot down, and now they're in a POW camp in Germany, Hemmenberg, Germany, near there.
See, I didn't even know that.
Why do they talk about Hemmenberg so much?
I don't know.
Their prisoner camp is called Stalag 13. Colonel Hogan, Carter, Kinhole,
Newkirk, LeBeau.
They are all prisoners of the camp.
From different places. Yeah. Newkirk is from England. LeBeau is French. And then the other three are American.
Yeah. They all have different ranks, but Colonel Hogan is highest rank there, so he's kind of the leader of their little posse. Yes, they are still in a prisoner of war camp, but they have made a series of tunnels escaping outside. They never really legitimately escape because they always come back. They're mainly just helping the Allied powers under the Germans' noses by committing acts of sabotage and like stealing war plans that they trust Stalag 13 with, but they still somehow get it and smuggle them back to the Allied powers.
No, Sam, you know why they always take it to Stalag 13? No prisoner has ever escaped from Stalag 13.
I mean, that's kind of on the part of the prisoners, though, because
they've chosen not to escape.
Yeah, they are more value to the Allies than
In the camp
than being a pilot in the air fighting for them.
Because they get a lot of good information to send back to London because they have like a radio in the bottom of their barracks.
Like the tunnel goes to every building, even the home of the person who runs the camp.
Colonel Klink.
We love Colonel Klink, even though he is on the wrong side of the war.
He's an idiot, though. That's,
he is. He's a lovable idiot.
He's a lovable idiot, along with Schultz. Colonel Klink takes a lot of pride in his camp because, as he repeats very, very frequently,
never been an escape from Stalag 13.
Never been a successful escape from Stalag 13.
I mean, people have tried, but it's never been successful.
They leave and come back whenever they want to, and he doesn't even know about it. Sometimes Schultz sees and hears stuff.
I know nothing.
That's always what he says. Schultz is great. I love Schultz.
He can always be bought by food.
He can. If he sees something, he will either say, I see nothing, I know nothing. And yep. They bribe him with chocolate and food they get in their care packages. If they want information, they're like, come on, Schultz.
Yep.
And they just bribe him with food.
Those two are an interesting team to be running a prisoner of war camp.
Right?
I mean, why would you do that? Schultz was in charge of the biggest toy factory
right?
in Germany before the war. Then he becomes a sergeant in the military when World War II starts.
Yeah, he's one of the main guards that protect, I say protect, that is supposed to be standing guard of Hogan's barracks.
Yeah, barracks.
They have stopped so many different plots of the Germans just to see how they have everything under the Germans' noses.
Yeah, and there's been times where they almost get caught by the Gestapo.
He always says it like that. He always says the Gestapo.
I'm sorry, but it's fun to say it that way. For example, Major Hochstetter. He is from the Gestapo. And for those of you that don't know what the Gestapo is, basically a form of secret police that Nazi Germany had at that time, which was legally allowed to just barge into your house, search everything, and arrest you for no reason. But they were kind of the intelligence gathering form. For those of you that have heard more of the KGB in the Soviet time, they're basically the same thing just before the KGB.
I come here to nerd out about old TV shows. Sam comes here to nerd out about war facts that he knows. That's Major Hochstetter.
Yeah, and then General Buchholter, another German. Not as dumb as Colonel Klink and Sergeant Schultz, but still pretty oblivious.
And Hogan, he's very much a smooth talker, and he knows how to talk his way in things and out of things.
Yeah.
Because he will work his way in. If there's an important thing going on, he will work his way in there so he can get the intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to the character that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
That we absolutely hate. Colonel Crittenden. If you thought Schultz and Klink were dumb, you haven't seen Colonel Crittenden.
He messes up their plans so bad.
And he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, but he's not.
Nope. Here's one big fact, y'all. He was captured by the Germans.
He was.
Multiple
times.
Like, more than 5 times, I'm pretty sure.
And he's escaped. One time he had a group of a bunch of other people escaping one of the prisoner of war camps, but then they all got found.
Okay, so here's the story.
Yeah, he'll tell you the story.
Here's the story that Crittenden told Colonel Hogan. So they were in a different Stalag. I think Stalag 11, I think. And then him and these 7 other soldiers broke out, right? They're running, get away from all the dogs and soldiers. And then they come across this peaceful little farm. And then a farmer comes out and takes all of them except Colonel Crittenden. And he only has a pitchfork.
Yes, you got to make sure to emphasize the pitchfork.
Yeah, he has a 3-pronged pitchfork that Crittenden says he was very skilled with that pitchfork.
Yeah.
What the heck?
He let all those people get captured.
And he
by a guy with a pitchfork.
And he didn't do anything to stop it. He just said, bye y'all, I'm leaving, and ran off.
And he's almost ruined so many plans.
Yeah. I mean, so many. I mean, almost every single plan that he came in for, he almost ruined.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he'd always be put seniority over Colonel Hogan.
Right?
Because he had more experience, more time. So whenever Crittenden got there, he'd always be bossing Hogan around because the way the ranking system went, he was above Hogan, which always was really annoying.
So, do you remember that one episode? We were talking about it that one time. I think they were trying to get documents out of Colonel Klink's office.
Yep.
And there was a safe in his office, and that's where they kept them. So they went in there in the middle of the night to steal it out of the safe. And there's a great scene. It's an exchange between Hogan and Carter and somebody on the phone.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
So in the middle of them trying to crack the safe, the phone in Colonel Klink's office goes off. Hogan tells him to answer it, and then Carter says, sorry, you've got the wrong number. Then Carter said, so what if you haven't told me who you're calling yet? No matter, you're still calling the wrong number because I don't even have a phone. And then hangs up the phone.
Didn't Hogan hang up the phone, or was that the second time?
They did it like he answered the phone like three times.
Yeah, yeah.
The second time, I think Hogan hung it up.
Okay, go ahead with that.
We don't have the dialogue on that one, but he was basically apologizing to the person for hanging up.
The person called back again.
He apologized for hanging up, but then Hogan stopped the phone call, and then they called again. So then Carter said, "Oh, hi. I didn't mean to hang up before, but you really do have the wrong number. This is a prisoner of war camp. Who am I? I'm a prisoner."
And then they start to leave the office. And then Carter's still standing there with the phone, just chatting away.
Yep.
And then Hogan has to, like, literally grab the phone and hang it up again.
We love Carter.
And then drag Carter out of the room.
Carter is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
Him and LeBeau.
Yeah, LeBeau is the little angry Frenchman.
He's tiny.
Carter is the explosive expert.
Yes.
But also lovably insane. Like, not a insane asylum sane. He's still a little crazy.
Do you want to hear some fun facts about the cast of Hogan's Heroes?
Sure.
I say fun facts. Interesting facts, more like it.
Yeah.
So, some of the characters in Hogan's Heroes had actual connections to World War II.
I mean, it was in that time frame, so.
So, the actor who played LeBeau, the French guy that we were just talking about, he's a survivor of the Holocaust. So, like, wow. He was in one of the concentration camps.
And that must have been just intentional for the directors and writers to try and do that.
Yeah, and there's more. So the person that plays Major Hochstetter, person that plays Colonel Klink, Sergeant Schultz, and General Bull Carter.
All Germans.
They were all Jewish, and they were able to escape Germany, and then they went to be a part of the U.S. Armed Forces in World War II.
They must have had a wonderful time humiliating the Germans in Hogan's Heroes then.
Right? I'm pretty sure the person that played Klink actually said the only way that he was going to play Klink is if he was made an absolute fool of.
Yeah.
And they were very successful in that. We're going to stop there for now, but tune in next episode to hear us take a personality quiz to see which Hogan's Hero character we are.